spectacular. No place for regrets. I have the strangest feeling that Alex senses I'm having trouble separating physical sizzle from emotional connection. Tell me you gave her a piece of your mind about sending you that ring like that, I say.
I did. She apologized. Said she didn't know how to handle it.
How will you manage the situation from yesterday?
My manager and PR team will talk to the studio, and then they'll drop a plan.
Isn't it weird, having other people decide so much for you? He laces his fingers on top of his head, looking out on the water.
It's a relief most of the time. When I'm filming a project or promoting a movie, I don't even have time to deal with stuff like that. I know it's not neurosurgery or something. It's not like what I do is vital. But I love my job. I love entertaining people.
Hey, I'm with you on this. I think arts are important. They feed the mind.
I like not having to decide on all the PR stuff. Anyway, the damage in this case was done years ago, when I agreed to let the studio use my private life as a marketing tool. The studio will have the final say on how to handle this. They put a lot of money in both movies.
My head is spinning.
Mine too, trust me.
I foresee many unpleasant days ahead of him. He needs some serious distraction. But all I come up with are sinfully sexy activities. Nope, not going there again, not even mentally. I'm happy we're still on a friendly basis, that the awkwardness didn't overshadow that. But even as I mull those thoughts over, I fear I can't just be Alex's friend.
I'm going back out on a jet ski later today. What do you say? Time to take on that fear of deep water head on?
Maybe.
What will it take to convince you to join me?
He asks. Aw, come on. You know my weakness. Muffins. He licks his lower lip, his eyes raking over my body.
I'd say I discovered a few more things that make you weak.
Wait a minute. Are sexy innuendos on the table? What kind of double-edged sword are these one-night stand rules? How am I supposed to do this without letting on how much I want him again? Wait, does it mean he wants me again? I don't want to let myself think that. It's a fool's hope, given the drama surrounding his love life. And maybe one night was enough for him. Why the teasing, then? Not the ones that make me weakest, I reply. There. See what he does with that.
Are you challenging me?
Something wrong with that?
You're delicious.
His eyes flash, and I wonder if he's remembering that moment when I nearly toppled onto his face. Heat rises to my cheeks, so I turn to look out on the water, feeling like my entire face, even the roots of my hairs, are going to catch fire. I'm not even going to address the situation between my legs. I've passed the stage of fire there. It's a billowing inferno. I focus on the lake and the prospect of taking it on. And being on a jet ski isn't the same thing as being in the water. I'll be guessing how deep it is, but I won't experience that dreadful feeling of not being able to touch the floor.
I won't let anything happen to you. Go out on the water with me.
I startle, because I hadn't realized Alex had shifted right behind me. He rests a hand on my waist, warm and reassuring. If anyone else asked me, the answer would be a firm no. But Alex has seen me in quite some vulnerable moments already, and I can't help but trust him. And really, this fear of mine is ridiculous. Okay, I'll go. Why aren't you wearing a life vest? I ask later as a hotel employee helps us onto a jet ski. Alex goes first, sitting in front.
Because I feel hot as it is. I'll cook in it.
So will I, probably. But no way in hell am I going out without one. I'm wearing a wetsuit, too, even though I don't plan to actually touch the water. But you never know. Several brave souls are swimming bare-skinned, but I'd need the water to be at least 20 degrees warmer for that. I look like a little robot with the neon orange vest reaching all the way to my ass and the black wetsuit. I sit behind Alex, eyeing the water like the fiend it is.
Hold on to me,
Alex instructs, which I do, wrapping my arms around his middle, my palms flat on his stomach. Yum. This will be a jet ski ride with benefits. I get to feel him up and call it holding on to him. He stirs the motor to life, and I yelp as he propels us forward, scooting even closer to him until I'm pressed tight against his back.
If you want me to stop or turn around, just say so, okay?
He shouts over the sound of the engine and the water splashing around us. Okay, I yell back.
But try to relax a bit and enjoy the view.
I try to ease my grip on him and look around us, instead of hiding my face in his back. That's not the point of this outing. If I was going to be a coward, I could have stayed on shore. After a few more minutes of cowering, I finally sit up straight, holding my hands on the sides of his waist only. Feeling brave, I even push myself back a little on the seat, so I can move freely, turn on one side, then the other. My heart rate slows down gradually as I immerse myself in the glorious sight. Endless blue sky, endless blue water, and beautiful mountains surrounding us. Gosh, the water's beautiful. I spot one or two multicolored fish swimming leisurely around us. Leaning a bit on the right side, I try to make out if one of them is indeed neon green, or if it's a light trick. Wham! Splash!
Chapter 16. Alex. It takes me a few seconds to realize that the breeze suddenly hitting my back means Summer isn't on the jet ski to block it anymore. I turn my head wildly around, but I can't see her in the water. Fuck. Where's my girl? I press the brake, but through sheer residual propelling force, the jet ski covers a few more feet before stopping. The second it comes to a halt, I scan the water all around. A knot lodges in my throat when I see a pair of flailing arms almost a half mile away. Jesus, how did I drop her? Chewing the inside of my cheek, I speed in her direction, stopping when I'm just 1 foot away and dive right into the water. Summer! I catch one of her hands, stopping her wild flailing, pulling her into my arms.
I can't touch the floor! I can't touch it!
She says feverishly between sobs. Her entire body is shaking, tears streaming down her face. Summer, you have a life vest on. You can swim anyway, and you have me. She doesn't seem to hear a word. She keeps trying to sink deeper, and it takes me a few seconds to realize she keeps hoping she'll reach the bottom. Jesus, how do I show her she's safe? Keeping myself afloat just by paddling with my feet, I cup her face in both hands. Summer, look at me. She braces her hands on my wrists, her eyes large and wild, and so damn scared it cuts right through me. The water is deep here, but you have nothing to worry about. I can't touch the floor either, but it's easy to keep afloat, and you have a life vest. You couldn't drown if you tried. She grips my wrist so tightly that my skin hurts, but I wouldn't care if she stopped my entire circulation.
How deep do you think the water is?
She whispers. Well, shit. I don't know exactly, but I have to make her focus on something else. Let's get you on that jet ski, sweetness. Hold on to one of my arms. She releases one of my wrists slowly, then quickly grabs the other with both hands. That's perfect. You're doing great. Just look at me while I get you on the jet ski. Personally, I don't know why you'd look anywhere else anyway. I'm by far the sexiest thing around. She gives me a small smile, but fear still lingers on her features. She doesn't break eye contact once. She's putting all her trust in me, and I won't let her down. When we reach the jet ski, I lift her onto it first. Do you want to drive? It's really easy, and you'll feel in control. She shakes her head. You drive. I trust you. I propel myself out of the water and slide in front of her. She immediately wraps her arms around me, holding me so tightly I barely breathe. Feel me up all you want, sweetness. I'm here for you to take advantage of. She chuckles, but doesn't loosen her grip. I lurch forward. Several of the older kids are lined up the shore as we approach. Aren't they supposed to be in their Spanish class? Maybe it's already time for their first break.
Summer, what happened?
One of the girls asks as the two of us come out of the water. Another is bouncing up and down the balls of her feet.
Are you okay?
We were close enough to shore that Summer's wild arm flailing didn't go unnoticed. She's still shaking. But she straightens up, gazes at the bunch of scared kids, and smiles.
Just being silly. Fell off the jet ski, but nothing happened. I'm okay.
Her voice is remarkably steady, given that she's still shaking.
I just need a hot shower, and I'll be as good as new.
Several kids seem unconvinced. Summer smiles at them.
I'm okay. Don't you think you can use me as an excuse to weasel out of the class? When's your break over? 5 minutes ago?
One admits.
What? Off you go, come on!
They leave, walking slowly and glancing over their shoulders. Summer keeps smiling until they're out of sight. Then, she seems to fold into herself. Wordlessly, she walks past the sunbed where we sat before the ride and picks up her beach bag. Then starts in the general direction of her bungalow. I walk right beside her, and since she doesn't say anything, I gather that she needs me by her side as much as I need to make sure she's all right. A few guests look at us on the way, and the thought any of them might snap a picture crosses my mind. But what if they did? There's nothing to see. Just two friends walking together. When we reach her bungalow, I take the card out of her shaky hands and unlock the front door.
Thank you, Alex.
Her voice falters on my name. As much as I admired that she pulled on every ounce of her self-control to reassure the kids, I like that she doesn't feel the need to play brave for me. I'll wait for you to shower, okay?
I promise I won't have a panic attack on the top. I was so silly.
She shrugs, smiling in a self-deprecating way as we go inside. I'm not having any of it. You were scared, Summer. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Everyone has irrational fears.
What are yours?
Tiny elevators and finding worms and fruit. She gives me a small laugh. Hey, these aren't even my worst ones. Go ahead and shower. I'll wait here. Later, when she comes out, hair dry, a towel wrapped around her, covering her from her chest down to her knees, she walks straight into my open arms. I hold her tightly, inhaling the smell of her shampoo.
Alex,
she whispers.
Hmm? Can you stay with me? Just for a little while?
Yes. I wrap her even tighter in my arms. I'll stay. But I need to shower too, or I'll mess up your room.
I suppose you should.
I never showered as fast in my life. Wrapping a towel around my waist, I head back to her. She's already curled in her bed on one side, sheet up to her chin. I slide right next to her and notice she's wearing shorts and a loose tank top. The swell of one of her nipples is showing. Lust loops through me. I barely resist teasing her about going to bed naked. This isn't why she asked me to stay. She hugs her pillow, falling asleep almost instantly. A while later, so do I. I wake up with a hard-on. Summer has turned with her back to me, her ass pressing straight against my erection. I have one arm around her waist, my hand wedged between her side and the mattress, as if trying to keep her from moving away from me. Carefully, I attempt to take my hand out.
You're awake?
She whispers. Yes. How long have you been awake?
A while. But I didn't want to move, in case you woke up too. And, I think your towel slipped off.
She sounds as if she's fighting a giggle. I check under the cover, and the towel had sure slipped off. I groan. You can add that to my list of fears. Having a raging hard-on at the wrong time.
You're in bed with a semi-naked woman. Don't be too hard on yourself.
This time she does giggle. I take that as a sign that she's over the deep water incident. What time is it?
We were only asleep for an hour.
She points to the digital clock display in the right-hand corner of the TV. Then she turns around, and I get a glimpse of her nipple again. All blood pulls south. I focus on her eyes, which are trained on me. I caress the side of her face, and she leans into my touch, kissing the heel of my palm. The contact zings me. Summer, I want you. She giggles again, but the sound is breathier.
The sword under the cover gave that away.
I know he said one night, but I can't keep that promise. I swallow, searching for the right words. I know my life comes with an XL-sized bag of complications, even though it doesn't feel like it when I'm here, with you.
Is that because I make a fool of myself every chance I get?
She bats her eyelashes, grinning.
Or because I still haven't asked you for an autograph.
Nah. The way you moan my name when I'm inside you won me over. She gasps, mockingly.
Ah, you did not just say that.
You're unlike anyone else I ever met, Summer. You're everything I didn't know I wanted. Her lips part, a mix of tenderness and surprise etched on her beautiful face.
So, let's forget about the complications while we're in here, she whispers. Let's just be Alex and Summer for the next week.
I'd take anything she wants to give me. Given the messy state of my affairs, I don't have more to offer beyond this week anyway. But this attachment I feel for her will only grow if we spend more time together. The smart thing to do would be to pull back altogether, but all I want is to give her more. I kiss her, desire sweeping through every cell in my body. I lick her lower lip, tugging it between my teeth before moving lower, kissing her neck. I roll her onto her back, needing to feel her under me. Her eyes wide and searching, she holds onto my shoulders tightly, shimmying under me, until we're touching at so many contact points that I don't know where she ends and I begin. But still, she pulls me closer. I cradle her to me, needing that closeness too. Having a carte blanche for one night is one thing, but this is different. Deeper. She opens up, cradling my erection between her thighs, and I instinctively know what she needs. I'm going to give it to her in spades. I rub my hard on against her center, the thin cotton of her shorts, the only thing between us. She gasps, fisting the sheet with one hand, my hair with the other. Kissing every inch of skin within reach, I rub back and forth, feeling her arousal dampening the fabric. Summer, do you have condoms?
No,
she says, shaking her head, her hips arching up when I move downward, pulling her shorts. The sight of her swollen, glistening flesh beckons to me.
But I need you to touch me.
Oh, I will. I can make you feel good without being inside you, sweetness. I drag the tip of my tongue up one fold, almost near the clit, but not quite, watching as she pinches her eyes shut in anticipation. I suck on her clit once before descending, licking her entrance, going even lower. She straightens one of her bent legs with a start, her back arching.
Alex. Oh, Alex.
I love seeing her open up to me like this. When she's so close to a climax that I feel the muscles in her thighs and ass clench together, I pull back, kissing up her belly, bunching the tank top higher and higher, gobbling up every inch of skin I reveal. After yanking the top over her head, I capture her lips with mine. I could kiss her for hours. Just kiss her. I can't get enough of her sweet mouth. Lowering one hand between us, I play with her clit. She fists my cock at the base, pumping all the way up, pressing the heel of her palm on the tip. Summer, that's so good. Tension pulls at the base of my spine with every stroke. Summer comes undone beneath me, writhing and moaning. I can tell when every wave of pleasure spreads through her, because she squeezes harder, moves her hand faster. I come seconds after she does, and nearly collapse on top of her.
Chapter 17. Summer. You are a bad man. Look at the time, I exclaim once I'm dressed, and Alex has put on the only item of clothing he has in my room, his swim shorts. We were supposed to take a quick shower. Well, I suggested that. Alex had sexy plans, and he only shared them with me once I was already trapped between his hard body and the tiled wall.
You could have said no, he says.
I'm not very good at telling you no.
You do know I'll take advantage of that, don't you?
Oh, I hope you do. He stalks toward me, intent written on his face. I point a finger at him. Not right now. You're going to make us miss lunch. and you still have to go change into clothes.
I wish I could stay in here with you all day.
Sighing, I head to the small vanity table and start brushing my hair, avoiding looking at him in the mirror. Far be it from me to want to bring reality into our little dream world, but we have to be careful, so no one can put two and two together about us.
I'm sorry. My contract is very strict on that point.
I know. Even if it wasn't, being seen with a woman wouldn't please your fans. I shudder, remembering the vitriol in his fans' voices during the panel. Alex walks right behind me. Taking the brush out of my hands, he disentangles my hair with slow, gentle moves.
You don't mind that we have to keep it a secret?
I'd love it if we didn't have to, but it's not a big deal. And it's just for a few days, anyway. Alex's hand falters for a split second. We're just for a few days. My stomach sinks at the thought, but I square my shoulders, smiling at him in the mirror. So what if we'll go our separate ways in a week? Is there a real risk I might fall for him? Yes, there is. Will I let that hold me back? Most certainly not. I foresee a need for a copious amount of sugar and sisterly love when I return to San Francisco, but I won't let that thought get in the way. When he finishes brushing my hair, he peppers my shoulders with kisses, glancing at me hungrily in the mirror. No, I say firmly. I want that lunch. Don't make me miss it. He grins, his gaze raking up and down my body.
I promise I'll make it worth your while.
Right. How do you let a man down gently when telling him you rate food, especially when you're starving, above sexy times? I decide not to pussyfoot around. Sorry, mister, but your schmexy skills aren't reason enough for me to go hungry. He abruptly straightens up, his eyes flashing. Yikes. Clearly, honesty is not always the best policy. In a second, he wraps his arms around my waist, trapping me against his chest, his naked chest. He has an advantage over me right here. All that skin on display makes it hard to think of anything beyond how lickable he is. I become aware that we're moving toward the bed. I get all tingly at the prospect of more sexy time. A second later, I remember I had a good reason to say no. Then I remember my hands are free. I can use all this shameless display of hard chest against him. More for me to touch and taunt. I start my grand plan by splaying a palm on his chest. Then I have a stroke of genius, and I lick his nipple. That earns me a groan. I lick the other nipple. Alex presses his hips against me, and I feel his erection wedged between us. I'm not sure if I'm winning this. He's losing composure with every passing second, but we're also moving in the direction of the bed. Did I mention I'm hot and bothered as hell? I mean it. I want to get my lunch, I warn.
No, you don't. You want me. You tempt me. Be prepared for the consequences.
He skims a large hand over my breast, as if to prove a point. I bite my lip as my sensitive nipple grazes the fabric of the bra. I've got to give it to him. Point proven. Now, how to torment him in return? I shimmy my lower body, feeling his hard and hot length pressing against me. I hear a low growl in his throat. His control hangs on a thin thread. Yep, time to cut that thread. He's at my mercy here. I'd feel like a powerful seductress if I wasn't at his mercy just as much. His gaze is molten, his mouth hard as he pulls me into a kiss so hot and dirty, I might never recover. This man will climb into my heart and stay there. I know this with the certainty I know that my name is Summer Bennett. This doesn't keep me from giving in to him. Oops, I guess I lost the battle. But if I'm honest, when it comes to feeling Alex's lips and hands all over my body, there's no losing, only winning.
Alex. You're right. I should buy more, or my nieces and nephews will fight over them. Summer says, almost a week later, scanning the racks with magnets. We've been in the resort shop for 30 minutes and are having a blast buying souvenirs for our families. I like that I can be myself around Summer, that we can have fun doing even the simplest things. I often feel like an imposter in Hollywood, where liking extravagant parties and exorbitant clothing is a requirement to fit in. Summer doesn't look at me as if she's measuring my net value in everything I do or say.
Okay, I'll buy one of each, she declares,
nodding at the vendor. Once we're out of the shop, her phone pings. She pulls it out of her bag, her brow scrunching when she reads the lengthy email.
My boss. I pitched an idea about featuring young artists, but she's not a fan. It's important to nurture young talents. Having confidence in them boosts their own self-confidence.
You're right. One of the reasons I like to give feedback to young actors. Come to think of it, why don't you have your own gallery? You have the funds to open it. She smiles impishly.
It's my dream to open one. I display collections by established painters and classics in one part, and new talents in another. I'd also love to offer painting classes.
That sounds like a plan. Why don't you do it?
I opened a gallery after I graduated college. It failed spectacularly. I was naive. I was too focused on young talents, and that's not a draw with the masses. Never even came close to making a profit, so I closed up shop. Worked at several museums afterward, including abroad in Rome.
You know what they say. Nothing is really a failure, but a learning experience. She waves her hand.
I don't mind calling things by their real name. Learning experience or not, failure is failure.
I take in her delicate frame. She might be small and fragile looking, but Summer is made of a stronger clay than most people I know. You have more experience now, I reason.
So my family keeps saying.
I like your family already. So, what's holding you back?
Oh, courage, where art thou? I'm still looking for it. I'll let everyone know when I find it.
I'd like to be there when she does. Hear her tell me all about it. I can take both our gift bags to my room, I tell her. She has a painting class now, and I have some free time.
Thanks.
She cranes her neck to the left, then the right.
My neck's stiff.
I lean in closer, but still don't touch her. Because we're in a public area of the resort. You need to relax. I can help with that.
Yes. You're good at that,
she says pensively. I'm amazing, I correct her. You keep telling me that. And you seem to mean it 100%. She rolls her eyes, blushing. She does say that, repeatedly, in bed.
Fine. You're amazing. Happy?
I flash her a grin. We're 2 hours away from being alone, baby. I'll show you what makes us both happy then. Summer sighs contentedly as she heads towards the conference room where her painting class is taking place. Damn, I don't want to let this woman go. Chapter 18. Alex.
10 more. Go, go, go.
You're enjoying this far too much, I reply between breaths. Summer grins, dipping the spoon in the ice cream box.
I have to say, watching you do crunches while I eat ice cream just made my top 10 guilty pleasures.
Since we have such limited time together, we steal every moment we can, including my daily training session. Because I don't need to beef up for a roll right now, I exercise using my body weight only. So I'm doing the routine on the floor of my room. Summer sits cross-legged on one of the armchairs, flicking her eyes from my printed training plan in front of her to me. One day. We just have one more day until the camp's over. How did this week go by so fast?
One and done, she claps her hands. Planks are next.
I laugh, laying back on my elbows. Don't I deserve a break?
Nope. It says in the plan you're only supposed to take a break after the planks. I'm doing a favor to women worldwide by not letting you off the hook. We need your lickable hotness to remain that way. Gives us all something to drool over. I'm doing this purely on humanitarian grounds. Not because I like to see you sweat and make all kinds of delicious manly sounds.
The things coming out of this woman's mouth, I swear. I rise to my feet, stalking toward her.
Oi, That's not a plank,
she admonishes, as I prop my palms on the armrest, caging her in. What are you going to do about it?
Keep on like this, and you're not getting good bisex.
My chest constricts. Fuck. I don't want to say goodbye. I kiss her hard and deep. Can she feel how much I don't want to let her go? Does she want this between us to go on as badly as I do? What if this one-week fling was enough for her? And if it wasn't? It wouldn't be fair to her to ask her to put up with all the drama surrounding me.
How can I resist you when you kiss me like that?
She asks when I pull back. She licks on a spoonful of ice cream, which gives me an idea. I dip a finger in it. Summer blinks up at me, watching my lips. But I don't bring it to my mouth. Open your legs, Summer. She gasps a little, but immediately shifts in the armchair, opening up, even bunching her dress to give me access. I bring my hand straight between her legs, push her thong to one side, and drag my finger up and down her entrance.
Alex, whoa, that's cold.
I'll warm you right up, baby. I kneel before her, spreading her legs even wider. She clutches the box in her hand, looking down as if she can't believe what I'm doing. I bunch her dress tightly against her and pull her ass a little further down the seat so she has a perfect view. I lick her clean, teasing her until her legs shake. Then I pull back.
What are you doing?
Planks.
Alexander Westbrook, get back here,
she warns. I grin, folding my arms over my chest. Are you going to put your own pleasure above the interest of women worldwide? Not very humanitarian. Narrowing her eyes, she covers herself and tucks her legs underneath her again.
On my count.
Planks are my least favorite part of the workout, but they're effective as hell.
And you've just broken your record,
she announces, after an eternity. Explains why my arms feel like they're about to explode. I lie on the floor, breathing raggedly for a few moments before pushing myself up. You're the best trainer I've ever had.
Well, you just tell your trainer to ramble incessantly while you hold the plank to distract you.
Won't work. Only ramble I'm interested in is yours.
Maybe you should keep me then.
She sucks in a breath, then casts her gaze away from me, shoving a huge spoon of ice cream in her mouth. My throat goes dry as I mull over her words. My heart rate, which had just begun to slow down after the workout, picks up speed again.
Summer. Now I've done it. I couldn't just keep my mouth shut, eat my ice cream, and pretend like the fact that we're going our separate ways tomorrow doesn't make my heart weigh 100 pounds. When he sits on his haunches in front of me, I add embarrassment to that dead weight. I stubbornly focus on detaching a frozen bit of ice cream from the carton.
Summer, look at me.
His voice is so soft, I want to sink into this chair until I disappear. I don't want his pity or a gentle reminder that we'd agreed on, well, on some vacation fun, I guess. I know all that. I'm just having a bit more trouble accepting it than I initially thought.
Summer, do you mean that?
He asks, his hand now on my head, angling my face up. Gathering my strength, I'm about to wave my words away, but then I see his expression. His eyes are wide and searching, like he's hoping I'll say yes. Or am I just reading into this what I want? Taking a deep breath, I decide to own up to it, even though it feels a bit like peeling one of those protective layers I've put over my heart. Yeah. Yes. I bite the inside of my cheek, then add quickly, but I know what our deal was, so...
That doesn't matter. Let me think for a minute.
He bites his lower lip, furrowing his brow. I swear I can hear his mind spinning. Meanwhile, my heart leaps into my throat. He moves from his haunches onto his knees.
My contract with the studio ends in 3 months. 1.5 months after the premiere. We wouldn't have to hide. Can you... Would you be willing to wait for me?
3 months? Yeah, it's not so long. It is a long time, and God knows what can happen during so many months, but I'm not ready to let this man go. We could work it out. He slides his hand into my hair, his fingertips pressing on my scalp, as he draws me nearer to the edge of the armchair. I lower my feet onto the floor, parting my legs so he fits in between.
It's not fair to you, asking you to wait, he murmurs. And it's not fair to ask you to hide with me either.
Alex, what do you want?
You. Any way I can have you.
My limbs feel lighter, as if an invisible weight pressing down on them has shifted.
But even after the whole studio mess is over, my life always is a dose of crazy. That's Hollywood. Insane filming hours, travel. The Paps always make up stuff. I won't be able to protect you from all that, as much as I want to.
You don't need to protect me, Alex. I'm not a damsel or a kid. He kisses my palm, then moves my hand to his cheek.
In my early years in Hollywood, I had relationships with a few women who weren't in the industry. It overwhelmed them.
And I've dated men who acted like I was disposable. Like they could walk all over my feelings. Everyone has a history. You know what they say about kissing frogs? I'm tough. I shrug, smiling, even though I feel like jumping up and down, screaming my happiness to the four corners until my throat is raw. And I don't want this to end. He pulls me into a kiss, hooking an arm around my waist, pulling me out of the armchair. I topple him over until he's sitting on the floor and I'm in his lap. We're laughing and kissing, and I feel like the luckiest woman. He sweeps me onto my back on the thick plush carpet, lounging over me, kissing me deeper. God, I have never been kissed like this, not even by him. It feels more intimate than making love.
I want to kiss you for hours, he murmurs, swiping his tongue over my lower lip. Just kiss you. It's the first time I can do this without counting down the time we have left.
Emotion wires up my entire body as I bring my mouth to his. We kiss until we're both shaking, and then move to the bed. After sheathing himself, he slides into me, moving slow and deep, until I come apart so hard I see stars behind my eyelids. Although the temptation to remain in this room, wrapped in our cocoon, is high, we head out to the goodbye bonfire. Alex and I do our best to act as if we're simply friends, which we've done the past week, too. But I think if anyone looks closely, they'll see the barely disguised joy on our faces. We end up not sleeping at all, watching the sunset, and heading straight to breakfast. Alex pulls me to one side once we're out of the breakfast hall.
Preston, my manager, will be here soon because we're flying together to New York.
Alex is flying around the country for the next 2 weeks for more pre-release promo for the superhero movie.
I'd like for you to meet him,
he continues. You're telling him?
It's best if he knows. He can help. It'll be easier to manage all this secrecy if he knows. But if you're not comfortable with that...
No, it's okay. If you think it'll make things easier, I'll meet Preston. Preston nearly cries when Alex explains everything to him.
You've got to be kidding!
He looks between the two of us, as if hoping someone will jump up and say April Fools. Slumping down on the armchair in Alex's room, he pulls at his mustache, which is dark brown with a few silver streaks, like his hair. His crisp suit wrinkles as he crosses his arms over his chest.
No offense, Summer. You seem like a nice person, but, Alex, this is the worst time for you to be with someone. Have you got any idea what the tabloids would do with this info? How the fans would react? The studio? I have a pretty good idea, yeah,
Alex says dryly. He's leaning against the wall, in arm's reach from me. I chose to sit on the bed, but standing would have been better. Preston's reaction is unnerving me.
The success of these two movies is hinging on the public opinion, which at the moment is against you. Do you know what 2 box office bombs would do to your career? You don't have the luxury to play hide and seek.
Alex's jaw ticks.
Pull yourself together, Preston. It was one panel gone wrong. You said so yourself.
Preston is sweating in earnest now.
The studio did some polls. Your popularity is at an all-time low. If the 3 interviews next week don't go better, we're neck deep in shit.
My stomach constricts, fear gripping me on Alex's behalf. I'm also dreading that he might change his mind about us. No, just because other men walked all over my feelings doesn't mean Alex will. It's not fair to hold him to those low expectations. As if sensing my apprehension, Alex takes my hand to his lips and kisses it. We'll be careful, I promise. And I do have experience with the press. They've been stalking my family for years. Preston narrows his eyes.
Summer Bennett. Any relation with Sebastian Bennett of Bennett Enterprises?
I'm his sister. Preston nods.
Okay, if that's really what both of you want, I'll share with you the security protocols.
Security protocols? Wow, that's something my family has never needed, even at the height of the media's interest in us.
How to go unseen when you're together and the press shows up. Or if you want to visit him while he's on the promo tour. A few tactics about avoiding fans. Let's take this one step at a time,
Alex says coolly.
Don't scare my girl away.
It's my turn to reassure him now. I squeeze his hand, rolling my shoulders. I'm not scared, just surprised. I didn't realize you had protocols. Please, tell me everything I need to know. Preston levels me with his gaze.
The most important thing is you can't tell anyone until the month after the premiere.
This doesn't include my family, right?
Yes, it does, says Preston.
At the same time, Alex says,
no.
Standing up, I pace the room. Look, I won't tell anyone else, but I can't keep this from my family. I'm too close to them.
How big is your family?
Preston inquires. Depends if you count only those related by blood, or those who married into my family, too. But you're looking at double digits anyway. He drops his head in his hands.
You two are going to kill me.
I trust them with my life. They won't tell anyone, I reassure him. Preston sighs, straightening up in the armchair.
The more people know, the more chances of a slip-up. Preston, move on. She's telling her family. No negotiating.
Preston checks his watch.
We don't have time for a full debrief on protocols. I'll set up a phone call with you, Summer. Alex and I need to board that plane. He'll give me your contact data.
Okay, sure. Preston stands to his feet, looking expectantly at Alex.
You go ahead, Preston. Wait for me at the reception. Don't be late. You've got 10 minutes, tops.
I won't be late, Alex says.
It was nice meeting you, Summer. Sorry about the circumstances.
Don't worry, Preston. We'll take care of our superstar. Smiling, he shakes my hand firmly, but his shoulders hunch as he leaves the room. So did that go as expected? I ask Alex. He chuckles.
More or less. He'll get used to it.
I lean my back against the wall, my fingers tapping the cool surface. But...
I don't want to talk about Preston.
He brings both his hands to my face, his thumbs pressing the corners of my mouth.
I'll miss you,
he says. Maybe I'll miss you too.
Maybe, huh?
He tugs my lower lip between his teeth, and a sharp impulse lights a fuse inside me. When he licks where he bit before, I fist his shirt. Maybe I need a reminder of what I should miss, I say breathlessly. He pulls me into a kiss so hot, I barely fight the urge to dry hump him. With a groan, Alex pulls away, looking between us. Whoops, I've been pressing my hips against him. Completely unintentional, of course.
Woman, do you want to drive me insane?
Hey, if I were naughty, I'd make you late for that flight. I'm being very selfless right now. He pinches my ass.
When I return to San Francisco, we'll work on that definition of selfless.
I grin, shuddering for effect. I can't wait for the lessons, Master. Can I pick my rewards?
The way you're going, you're more likely to earn punishments. I promise you'll love them.
He doesn't take his eyes off me, and sweet bejesus, hot gaze and sinful words are an explosive combo. I think you're all talk and no play, Westbrook, I say coyly, touching his bicep languidly, so he knows I mean business. In response, he grips my hand, kissing the pads of my fingers. For anyone watching, this could seem like a sweet gesture, except that he works in a flick of tongue.
I'm not about playing at all. I'm all about winning. Any way that ends up with you begging for me to be inside you is a win in my book.
Boom. That explosive combo did the job thoroughly. I'm so turned on, I want to climb him. But I'm not completely selfish. I know he has a plane to catch. Don't be late for meeting Preston. I'll miss you, Alex. Good luck with the interviews. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Thanks. And tell me if Preston bugs you too much, or if you want to talk about the protocols. They're not as scary as they seem.
It takes a lot to scare me, Alex. Don't worry. He gives me one last kiss, more of a chaste peck on the lips, before leaving the room. Sighing, I run my hands up and down my arms, already feeling cold where he touched me before. Chapter 19. Summer. And starting with this painting, we enter a new phase in Monet's career. I glance around at the group of 10, trying to gauge if everyone's still with me. The audience is always a mixed bag. Some are at the gallery because they genuinely like art. Some because their friends or significant others dragged them here. Others simply want to check off attractions on their lists. As I lead the group through the remaining paintings, I pepper my explanations with random trivia from Monet's life, even add a few questionable but fun rumors, which earn me chuckles. It's the best way to entertain even the visitors who aren't art enthusiasts. We get a lot of tourists in July. After the tour ends, I head straight to the small kitchen at the back, smoothing my hands down my skirt. God, I missed my high heels and pencil skirts and shirts. I feel like I have more purpose when I dress up. I prepare myself a coffee at our Nespresso machine. After having slept in until 8 for the past couple of weeks, waking up at 6 these last 3 days has been brutal. I also miss waking up with Alex's arms around me. How can I miss him so much? Well, he does have the sexiest, strongest arms. Missing him is totally appropriate. And I'll see him in 2 weeks. Oh boy, I'm already showing signs of Alex withdrawals. Summer, you're free, good, Olivia says, stepping inside the small kitchen. How did it go with Rupert Felton? We're golden. He agreed to lend us the collection for 2 weeks. Rupert Felton is 80, going on 100, and could pass off as the Grinch. I met him while working in Rome, which is why Olivia asked me to reach out to him. I don't know how you do it, Olivia nods, picking a feather from her black sweater dress. I'm jealous of the dark green glossy belt at her waist and the matching shoes. Rupert isn't as grumpy as he seems, especially when I treat him to the best steak with gorgonzola sauce San Francisco has to offer. She cocks a brow. Ha! I don't like that judgy look. Some would call my tactics underhanded. Unorthodox is a better word. Much more elegant. A convincing sales pitch takes people skills, which I have in spades. You cannot grow up with 8 siblings and not have people skills. You're not planning any more extended leaves, I hope. I had a lot of accrued time, Olivia. Still have some left. In times like this, I can understand my siblings' desire to own their businesses. She purses her lips, but doesn't add anything else, as my colleague Diana joins us. Oh, Coffee, how I need you, Diana says, hurrying to the Nespresso machine. Olivia backs out of the kitchen. Thank God you're back, Diana whispers, even though we're alone. She was super cranky while you were gone. By the way, a reporter called earlier asking for you.
Oh?
She was asking if you and Alex Westbrook are close. She said something about you both being donors at an orphanage. I told her I know nothing about that. I freeze in the act of placing my empty coffee cup in the dishwasher.
Right. Thanks for telling me.
She nudges me with her hip. Anything you want to share, Summer? Diana is very dear to me, but she's a terrible gossip. Plus, I agreed to only share this with my family.
Nope, absolutely nothing. But I do need to go. I need to send some emails before my next tour.
I rush to my small office, pull up St. Anne's website, and navigate to the donors page. Crap, both Alex and I are on it, even though I explicitly asked for neither of us to be listed. God damn it. I call Shauna right away. The words tumble out so fast from my mouth when she answers, I'll be surprised if she understood any of it.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Summer. My assistant just updated the list of donors.
I think she checked the incoming funds without looking over the list of people who want to remain anonymous. I'll remove it right away. In fact, wait a second, I'll do it right now.
I bite my nails while I wait, wondering how many people have seen it already, and if that reporter will dig deeper.
It's done. You're both removed. I'm really sorry about this, Shauna says.
Thanks for doing this so fast, I reply, trying to keep my tone even though anger simmers inside me. It was a mistake, I know, but we can't afford any mistakes. After clicking off, I still can't get the reporter out of my mind. If she does dig deeper, what will she find? We'd been careful at Lake Tahoe. We haven't kissed in public. The most she can find is that we've been there at the same time. But so was the entire staff of St. Anne's and the Spanish teachers. Taking a few deep breaths, I tell myself I have no reason to panic. I also shoot Preston an email informing him about it. Letting him know about any contact with the media is part of the security protocols. He talked to me at length about them, then emailed me files upon files. I'm not sure how I'll remember everything, but I'll do my best. Ugh, this day took a nosedive, and it's not even lunchtime. The silver lining? The spa evening at Sebastian's house with my sisters and Ava. Some girl time is just what the doctor ordered.
I can't win against the three of you, Ava exclaims that evening, waving her hands around so the red acrylic on her fingernails dries faster. We've pooled all our beauty resources on the floor of her expansive living room, and we're so stocked up, we could open our own beauty store. We're sprawled on the L-shaped couch, Pippa in the corner, Alice at one end, Ava and me at the other. I grin.
We know.
But our nagging is in your best interest, Pippa informs her solemnly, even though it's hard to take her seriously when she has a mask the color of chocolate on her face.
Look, I'm a mom too, and I know how hard it is to balance work and family. Having someone helping you doesn't mean you kick ass any less. It means you'll have time to breathe.
Ava pouts. You make too much sense.
I can't believe Sebastian tossing me to the sharks like this.
Fine. I promise I will seriously consider hiring a permanent nanny.
Alice pumps her fist in the air, perfectly summing up how I feel. Then she rubs her hands and points both forefingers at me.
Now, Summer, I believe you have something to share with us?
I swear to God, everything just spills out of me. I only stop when my throat is dry and Pippa's mask starts to peel off.
Wow! Pippa exclaims.
But the secret part might be tricky, Alice says reasonably. Ava, who just found out I knew Alex at all, looks at me open-mouthed. He's too famous for that. I shoot daggers with my eyes at them. Don't ruin my buzz with practicality. I love living in my bubble. It's comfy. I can't believe I have to wait so long to see him. He'll be here in 2 Saturdays. Alice tucks her legs under her, propping her elbow on the backrest. Oh, that's the day Mom and Dad invited us to their pizza party. Are you bringing him? I didn't ask him yet, but I plan to. My stomach clenches. It's been a while since I introduced anyone to my family. Mostly because whenever I brought that up, it resulted in my date running for the hills. Alice grins. I promise we won't be too obvious when we check out if he's as hot in real life. And we'll keep our brothers on a tight leash so they don't grill him too much. Pippa bursts out laughing. Alice, you're overestimating us. When have we been able to keep our brothers from going into alpha overprotective mode? Alice inspects her freshly polished nails in response. I thought so, Pippa says. Damn, this mask smells so much like chocolate that I'm hungry. Ava rubs her stomach. Anyone up for raiding my kitchen?
Nope, I try not to eat after 9 p.m., I say seriously, though my mouth already waters, because Ava's fridge is always stocked up with goodies.
My eldest sister bats her eyelashes. She has apple strudel with vanilla sauce. Alice springs to her feet, already heading to the kitchen. Sold, I say wistfully. Who am I to say no to that, really? Besides, some vanilla courage might be just what I need to ask Alex about meeting my family when I talk to him in 2 hours. Oh, I've got whipped cream, too, Ava announces. Now you're just actively sabotaging my healthy eating plan, I admonish. She shakes her head. Everything we eat during girls' night doesn't matter. Alice chuckles. How did you figure that out? Gossiping burns a lot of calories, Ava says seriously. Both my sisters laugh, but Ava's mention of gossip brings front and center thoughts of that reporter.
Chapter 20. Alex. I love photo shoots. Not because I enjoy having my photo taken, but because it doesn't require talking, answering questions, or fielding them. That's a wrap. The photographer holds her thumb and forefinger in a circle, smiling. Thanks, Rebecca.
Always a pleasure working with you. You've killed it, Westbrook. I swear, you look hotter every year. Readers will eat this up. Want to go out for a drink?
No can do. Still have to get to a radio interview. Evening slot. I scratch my jaw because they wanted the one-day beard for the shoot, and my skin is itchy as hell.
How long are you in town?
She plays with her hair, looking me up and down. She's been hitting on me ever since I arrived. We've known each other for years, but this is the first time she's come on to me. I've got every minute planned. The guys in charge of lighting start dismantling the equipment, and we move out of the way.
You seeing someone new?
She asks. No. The lie feels bitter on my tongue. For someone who slips into other people's skins for a living, this should come easy. But I don't like playing pretend in my real life. But I'm laying low for a while.
You're lost, big boy. Do you need a ride to the radio station?
Thanks, but my manager already arranged for one. Do you know where they put my jacket?
I'll bring it for you.
With a wink, she takes off in the direction of the changing rooms. The studio is a blur of activity, even this late in the evening. They have 4 adjacent sets, and the other 3 are still in action. The hair and makeup team running between them for retouching. The air is thick with the smell of hairspray and nail polish. A constant buzz of voices is wearing me down. Rebecca returns, holding my jacket.
Here you go, mister. And if you change your mind, let me know.
When I don't answer, she adds,
good luck with the interview.
After bidding goodbye to everyone on set who doesn't have their hands full, I step outside. My car, a black sedan, is already waiting in the front, but I don't climb in yet. I fill my lungs with fresh air. Well, fresh is relative considering the constant stream of cars, but it's better than the stale air inside. And I much prefer the air in Chicago in July than in New York. I flew in yesterday from New York, and the humidity was insane. I step out of the way of a hurried teenager who has his earbuds on and his eyes on the screen of his phone. That's a disaster waiting to happen. I barely form the thought when the guy veers left into a side street and walks right into a water hydrant.